Spring Break! Give me a break. Give me a spring break. That's right, douchebags. It's spring break. Spring break. Everybody's favorite. I ask the kids, where you guys go for spring break? They're like, I got to work. You know, I'm like, Well, they're like, what are you doing, professor? I'm like, are you kidding? Chicks and drugs and fire trucks. It's going to be unbelievable. But probably nothing needed. So I guess we're all on this together. I think I've just done 3 movie lines in 10 seconds from 3 different movies. And you don't know what they are, and I do. And I wouldn't even want to describe them to you if I could. But welcome to the show, everybody. It is Spring Break, as we do every year at this time. And it certainly is. I have been... it's not like I've been partying, but I've been... pushing myself this week. I had so much to do all week long. I haven't been sleeping, and what's been happening? Getting a little sick. Had a little bit of a sore throat. Little tiny bit of a sore throat. Started bringing the humidifier again while I'm sleeping. Went away really quickly, but using my voice a lot, and you can tell maybe it's a little, I didn't sleep last night, and all of this will be explained in a second. But before we begin today's lovely podcast, let me just tell you, I love starting with the weather. It's a beautiful day in New York City, and it has not been. Yesterday was not great, but the day before was even worse. On Wednesday, it rained horribly. On Saturday, it rained horribly. And both of those days, I was driving. You know, a lot of times when it rains here in the city, I'm just home. I never leave the house, and I'm like, ah, suckers. And, oh, God, this past 2 times, it's been pouring rain. A downpour of drenching, soaking rain, and I've been driving. And as you know, my car leaks, so it's pretty funny if you capture me with the umbrella in the car while I'm driving, and the hijinks that happen when the umbrella accidentally closes. And you can just picture it while I'm reading my old-fashioned maps and the umbrella. Now that's comedy. That's actual comedy. Nowadays, people would look at it and be like, see, that's irresponsible driving. But in the 80s, that would have been high comedy. People would have been dying laughing. I mean, dying laughing. So, yes, I've been running myself ragged and getting a little sick, because we all know that's how Dave Juskow gets sick. He runs himself down, he does not sleep, and there's drinking involved. There hasn't been that much drinking involved, but I've definitely been drinking. But it hasn't been like to where I've been getting drunk. So that's probably why I haven't gotten completely sick. The hangover after partying all night and not sleeping will get you. As you know, the immune system's down and you're doomed. Anyway, let me just give you some... you can tell my voice is a little shot, but I'm still feeling good. I'm just a little sleepy, and I have big plans tonight. If you don't know, tonight, after I leave you, I am having... No, you wouldn't know. I don't think I mentioned it last week. But tonight, I will be having dinner with Sir Paul Schaefer. You heard me right.
Thank you very much. I'll tell you in a second who we have. First of all, Paul, introduce our special friend playing with the band tonight. Well, Paul Schaefer, ladies and gentlemen.
Everybody knows who he is. All I can say is when we came out to L.A., there was one cat that we wanted to talk into sitting in with us, and we're thrilled that he did. He's an innovator, and he's just a nutty kind of a guy.
A nutty kind of a guy.
Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen.
Hey Dave, this is gonna be a good time. This is gonna be. What do you want to? What are you gonna order? You want to share an appetizer? It's going to be great. Yep, I'm going to have dinner with Paul Schaefer tonight in Connecticut. That's where he lives. And you're probably like, why are you having dinner with Paul Schaefer? Like, and then I say, hey, don't worry about it. Because I'm Jessica Dan. That's what I do. The reason I'm having dinner with Paul Schaefer and the late night orchestra is because I teach, mostly, because of what happens on Thursdays. You see, Jeff Ross is in town, and they're like, oh, yeah, but that's not actually the reason. Jeff Ross is in town, and he's doing two shows. And he was doing one at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, and I told him I can't wait to go to that show, and I'm going to bring the mayor of Red Bank with me. And it was exciting. And then I found out it was on a Thursday, and I'm like, God damn it, I can't come. I'm so sorry. I can't make it. This, you know, I teach on Thursdays. There's nothing I can do about it. Meanwhile, now I've just figured out, apparently the kids have told me teachers just cancel class all the time. But I don't want to. Is that so wrong that I enjoy teaching the class so far? I'm sure many years from now I won't mind canceling. It's just like I feel like, you know, you cancel in an emergency or something. I don't know. Anyway, I couldn't go. And he goes, well, Friday I'll be in Connecticut. I'm like, he's like, Dara's going. Maybe you can go with her, which is Gilbert's wife. I go, yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I have nothing against Dara. I just hate going to Connecticut. But if she's driving and I don't have to drive, I would even take the train there as long as I could sit with somebody and go with somebody. And she goes, yeah, I mean, if you don't mind just leaving early and having dinner with Paul Schaefer. And I'm like, oh, really? We have to have dinner with Paul Schaefer and his wife? You know, this is not, you know, obviously I was doing a gag. I was like, oh, that's the punishment for having to leave early and I have to have dinner. That's the punishment for going to Jeff's show in Connecticut. I have to have dinner with Paul Schaefer, the legendary Paul Schaefer, who, as you know, and Gabriel, you may be the only person that understands, and I don't even think you would know this, that I am dying to bring up the reference to a show he used to be in before Saturday Night Live called A Year at the Top, with him and Greg Evigan, and it was like a damn Yankees ripoff. I think I've probably mentioned it on the podcast 8 years ago. Maybe. I doubt it. Do I bring that up and tell him how much that show, I remember it so well, and how I actually learned to act from that show, from the guy that played the devil and all this stuff? Or do I try and be cool? Well, I think we all know the answer to that. I've got a problem with that, so I'm probably going to ask him. It's worth him saying to his wife, I don't want to hang out with that guy again. He asked me questions about stuff I did 50 years ago. And she's like, I don't know. He seemed real enthusiastic about it. That's what you hope for. But, you know, who knows? Hopefully he would enjoy a question. He might like a question like that. And we got people on the press, right? So, see? You see, Sonny? It's just business. It's not personal. It's business that I have to ask him about the TV show A Year at the Top. It's not personal. It's business. Because I got to report it back on this show. So that's happening. And then the housekeeping or house cleaning we need to do is, I will mention Gabriel again. Let me just say, our friend in Canada, Gabriel. So we were talking about Papa Laurie's or whatever the fuck that restaurant is. I told you last week that Evan was angry and he's going to call the owner. So he did. And the guy was really upset with our experience there. And now we have another gift card. Kevin's like, hey, we got another gift card. And I'm like, oh, good. Let's go there with that guy's again so he can spit on our food. Like, who is your waiter? And he's like, well, it was this guy. I don't know his name. Like, oh, that guy. So apparently that guy's trouble anyway. We obviously can't go back when that guy's there because now we told on him. And I'm sure he's none too pleased. But I was, you know, fuck him. I couldn't be more happy about that. And Gabriel said that he checked the website out and now they changed their hours from 11 to or 10 to 9. And he's like, oh, so congratulations. But what we found out, Gabriel, was that they only changed it in one place. They still fucked up something because Evan checked the other day. But look how you can make a difference if you're annoying enough. You see, folks, it does pay to be annoying. And the other thing, also, Gabriel had posted me in the Patreon chat and told me that the last line of the Brady Bunch, where we were talking about the, I don't even want to use the word anymore, but the review of, because we used it so much yesterday, last week, the Big John, Little John review, finding out that Robbie Riss had the last line ever uttered in the Brady Bunch, and he found out what it was. And it's the episode where Greg's going to college, and he's like, well, who's going to get my room now? And apparently Robbie Riss says, me, Cousin Oliver. And everybody just looks at him and they scowl. And then he says, it was just a suggestion. And those were the last lines ever uttered in the Brady Bunch by a character that was only on 6 episodes of a 5-year TV show. And thank you, Gabriel, for that information, because I was extremely curious about it, because it just made no sense to me, but it's a fact. And that is why the Cousin Oliver, the Cosby Show, all that kind of stuff, the stuff I like to teach in class, is why Seinfeld made sure that no one else entered their universe. I mean, they had a couple people that stayed on, like Banya and, of course, Putty, but mostly it's the core four, and you didn't make a change, because then you turn on the Brady Bunch 3 years later, you're like, you get off a little, and then you go back, and you're like, who the fuck is this kid? And Cosby would do that all the time, because he'd just want to get cuter and cuter and younger, poor. Keisha Knight Pullum was like, you're replacing me? I'm only 12. You know, that's sad. So, but obviously that guy's a scumbag anyway. But of course I could see that too, because, you know, how cute was Raven Simone at the time? So what are you going to do? It's a tough one. You know, well, Keisha Knight's entering her awkward years, and we really need a little cutie pie. But again, he changed so many characters in that show. It was so stupid, and what an asshole. And obviously he wasn't thinking straight because he was raping women. So there's that. But yeah, that's why we were just talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm. And how he so rarely brings a character. It's so funny when he has Leon stay on the show from that episode from after Hurricane Katrina, and Leon stayed, right? And then and Tracy Ullman this year, because obviously they all like working together. He just got rid of her, but he let her stay over, and that's just so rare for a Larry David-based show who, clearly now he doesn't care, it's last season and all that stuff, and he's only had Leon as the only character that's like really stayed on. But yeah, but it's always to, I mean, this isn't a conventional sitcom, but it was always, I'm sure they had the Cousin Oliver rule on Seinfeld and Cosby to make sure, let's keep things consistent so you can tune in season 1 and you can tune in season 9 and you can, it doesn't matter. I don't have to go back and be like, wait, when did they bring in this mop-haired, mop-top kid with the glasses? What's going on here? Who the hell is Cousin Oliver and why is he staying there? Why do they need another kid? Is he an orphan? What's happening? Throughout today's episode, I will be playing songs I was playing for the children at the class yesterday, and in their awness of, wait, this was a hit song. I was playing the videos from movies that came out of movies, this one being Rick Springfield's Hard to Hold, which is so funny because the soundtrack is technically excellent back then, and we all liked Rick Springfield, but the movie's horrible, and it's funny that Rick Springfield made an amazing album from a movie soundtrack, but you, Mr. and Mrs. Front Porch, don't remember it, but you absolutely remember the other movie that had an amazing soundtrack with a musician that came out that year called Purple Rain. And technically, they're both extremely bad movies, and yet Rick Springfield's songs were okay and they were hits. They just don't stand the test of time. And Prince's songs were iconic. And fascinating stuff. So, playing that throughout the show today to have a couple of laughs. So I will just tell you, I don't know where to begin. I guess I'll start with Saturday night because, again, a driving rain. Picture it. Sicily, 1927. A driving rain leaves a poor peasant girl out on the Palisades Parkway. I was going to see my cousins, Stuart and Susan. They're the only cousins we've ever known that we still have a relationship with, like when we were kids. I have my other cousins from my mother's side who we have now been becoming close with, but didn't know them when we were kids. And it's all my father's fault. So now that he's dead, we can have relationships with these kids. And they said, why don't you come over for dinner, right? So it's me and Beth and Susan and Stuart and her sister Julie and her husband Ira. It's like, let's all get together. And then all of a sudden, on Saturday, she goes, hey, Julie and I are going to stop by. And I'm like, what do you mean they're going to stop by? They're the ones we actually, I mean, we wanted to see Susan Stewart, but we wanted to see Julie because we never see them. Because they're, when I was there, I'm like, you guys are very secretive. Your whole family's very secretive. And they didn't understand. And they're like, wait, how are we secretive? Because you don't know it when you're in it. But other people can tell. And the only reason we know about this, because my sister Beth used to have a friend named Susan Mandel, and her family was real secretive. Nobody knew exactly what her dad did. And they just, there wasn't like top secret stuff. There's just a couple of families that, and they're not Italian, Jewish, and they just don't,
never tell anybody what you're thinking outside the family. What's the matter with you?
It's kind of like that, but it's not as intense, but it just kind of happens. So that's why we've always, their family has been very secretive. They just didn't want to talk to anybody else, and they definitely didn't want to talk to our family because our fathers didn't get along. So then we were like, wait, I don't understand. Why are they stopping by? Why didn't they know about this? And they didn't really have an explanation. I'm like, wait, I thought we were all getting, why didn't you? And Julie's like, we just found out about it. I'm like, well, are you guys fighting? Like, I asked all the questions that you shouldn't ask because you know me. I'm like, no, I got to get to the bottom of this. I got to find out the thought process, but I'll never find out. And it was really nice to see these other folks. But we had to go all the way to the top of New Jersey, right at the borderline of New York. In fact, when you drive there, right? So I leave the city, I go up the George Washington Bridge. It's rain, driving rain. It's terrifying. But I always try and keep it cool, right? But it's I could definitely be in the car going like, oh, my God. But I keep it together, and it's driving rain. It's foggy. It's a bad circumstance to be driving in, and it's a bummer. And I had to walk to the parking garage in the rain, and I was, like, pretty much soaked by the time I got there, even though I had a big umbrella. That's how bad the rain was. So where I go, and you go up to the George Washington Bridge. You get on the Palisades Parkway, and you're in New Jersey, right? But then you go back into New York and make a left and cut around back into New Jersey. I don't understand it myself, but it's really weird. And it was a real pain in the ass, but we had a lovely time. And she made chili, which was surprising, but delicious. And I had a really good time, and I had three margaritas. And Cousin Stewart was just like, hey, I make them really strong. You sure you want a third one? I'm like, yeah, I want a third one. Listen, I'm telling you, I make them really, hey. What am I, 12? Give me the fucking margarita, you hump. I know, you know, you guys know I know what I can handle. They don't know me. I was feeling okay. I was perfectly fine. And then at the end of the night, then I just started drinking water after that. And then he made me really delicious coffee, of which I do have a picture of. So that at least happened on Saturday. Chili and coffee and a driving rain. And no diarrhea. What? How is that possible? My body's changing, man. It's all the healthiness I'm putting through. That's what it is, man. It's changing. I don't know. I'm not stressed anymore. I don't know why. I should be. That should completely have made a diarrhea, a dire emergency. But you would say diarrhea. Thank you. But yeah, nothing. I'm perfectly fine. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll eat again. Yeah, I'm stopping my Taco Bell on the way home. No, but I didn't. Thank God. Thank God. This too. So this is so old man shit, but I gotta tell you, it's so weird, and maybe it's healthy. We're watching people have Alzheimer's and all that kind of stuff, and everybody's getting older, and you're worried about, will this happen to you? How do your brain functions work when you're older? And I can't deny, I mean, I think everybody gets a little nervous about that. We don't really think about it in the moment, but when you hear about somebody else, maybe somebody in your family or somebody like that, I mean, I listen, I know Aunt Judy listens to this podcast, but And she's not losing it. Everything's fine, you know. Like, but she gets angry when we mention it. But then, you know, they do this thing with the garage, and you're like, well, wait a minute, I don't know what's happening here, right? So, I think about that kind of stuff, and I don't know. So this is so silly, but it's not silly. It's just weird. So when I usually go to school, I stop at this Speedway, my favorite Speedway, right by before Giant Stadium, and I get a lottery ticket, a bottle of water, a Nutri-Grain bar, zesty cake or a tasty cake for Sunday or Saturday night at my house, like that my dessert for the weekend, and a newspaper, a local New Jersey newspaper, whether it's the Star Ledger or the Bergen Record or the Asbury Park Press, as you know, I was trying to get a subscription to that. And I get that every week, and I cannot tell you, for some reason, that ritual and that thing just makes me happy getting all those things and having them ready to go. I just have them on my seat, and I always want to organize it in my bag, but I can't because I don't have a light in my car, so I can't put it together, so I have to wait till I get to the parking garage where there's a light, and then I have to put it together while they're waiting for me to get all my stuff out. So I always feel bad, but what else can I do? Yesterday, I did not have time, which I'll tell you in a second, to stop at the store and get the paper. So at nighttime, I went to go look, and I'm like, what am I? Nobody's going to have a newspaper. I mean, the fact that they even have a newspaper at this store, and this girl that's working that sees me every week is like, oh, I wonder if that old man's going to buy the paper today. And I was complaining. I'm like, hey, you sold me yesterday's paper. Like, oh, I did? You know, like, I mean, nobody cares. The fact that they're still making newspapers is a miracle. But the funny thing is, it's like, I'll get Thursday's paper, and then I read it like Sunday night while the TV's on and you know, just sitting there reading it. And then when I get to the life section, I read the comics, which are fun because they're so dumb. And then I get involved with the puzzles because they have a whole bunch of them. And no matter what paper you get, it's the same thing. I think they all put the same thing together. So I'm having trouble doing, but I do the best I can, and then I do the word search, which I've heard is good for your brain, and I do the Sudoku or whatever that's called. So I'm trying to do these like brain teasers because I've heard that's good for you. And you know, I'm trying to read more, and I'm trying to do this stuff because nobody knows what causes all this shit, but I've heard working your brain. I mean, how can that be bad for you? So now I'm stuck where I'm like, yeah, I got to get the paper this week so I can do all these sections on Sunday. And somehow that makes me feel better about living and my awful lifestyle. But at least once a week, I use my brain for good and not just the knowledge of why Friday the 13th part 4 was supposed to be the final chapter. You know what I'm saying? My brain is full of nonsense, which of course now is paying off, but you know, really important using your brain stuff. Also, as I told you, I watched this show Countdown, and that probably helps, which is in Britain. And it's been on for years with that super hot girl that knows math. And we've talked about this before, Rachel something or other. And I watch that show, and I try and figure out the letters, which are jumbled or whatever they're called, where you have to, you know, there's 9 letters, and you got to figure out what's the largest word you can get. And then, of course, there's a numbers game, which I cannot possibly figure out. But then I'm like, geez, wouldn't it be cool if I could? So I think that's why I started getting into it. After I watched that show, it's on at 1:10 every night, which is like 6 in the morning over there. And I think that's why I decided, let me try and get my brain going again, let alone just being in school. I guess I said maybe now's a good time to get things working. So the papers become important. It's so stupid. And last night I couldn't, so I'm like, well, I'll go after work. I'll look for the paper, but nobody has it. I went to that Tiger Mart. I like, they're like, newspaper. What the hell are you talking about, you dope? And I'm like, damn it, that's too bad. Then I went to another place, like a Sunoco station just before the Meadowlands. And I'm like, well, let me take a look. I know nobody's going to have it. I know nobody's going to have it. So then I saw they actually had a rack for the newspaper. So they did have it. And I'm like, oh, you guys don't have the, I just pointed to the thing. They're like, no, we're out. And I'm like, and they're like, what paper are you looking for? I'm like, I don't know, any New Jersey local paper. And they went into the garbage and they gave me the garbage paper for free that nobody used. They just threw out the papers that nobody bought that day because they are useless. And it was the exact right one. And I couldn't have been happier. And it was so stupid. And I was on this quest to find it. I mean, where do you find a newspaper at 11 o'clock at night anywhere anymore? It was so ridiculous, but I couldn't. I was like nervous about going home. I'm like, well, that ruins my weekend. That ruins my weekend. I mean, how much of an old man statement is that? Whose weekend is ruined because the Sunday paper hasn't come? That's an old statement, you know? It's so weird, but I don't know. I'm obsessed. And when I woke up this morning, I'm like, oh, thank God I got that paper. I don't even know. I'm a strange one, obviously. Anywho, that little tidbit that I'm sharing with you being said, on Monday, I went to work, and then I came home, and we recorded another Billy Joel podcast with Paul, which would be terrific. And for this one, it's the Piano Man album wrap-up, and he's actually using a piano, not the old-fashioned keyboard. Hopefully it came out okay. It's a lot more work for me. She's like, oh, he's like, well, you don't mind because we can't use the Zoom. And I'm like, oh, great. That's extra because then we got to use our separate mics and I got to put them. It's going to take days to put together. Hopefully it won't be a three-part episode. No, it can't be. We can't make the Piano Man three parts. Can't do it. Can't do it. If each episode's an hour, then so be it. What are you going to do? Can't make it three parts. Can't do it. Glass, how does he make a case for? The Nylon Curtain was the one where we're like, you know what? This is worthy of a three. It's an interesting album. And obviously, 52nd Street would definitely be three parts, but yeah, Piano Man, that should actually be one part, but there's so much to do with Paul playing and the dopey parodies. Ugh. My reviews that go on for 45 minutes. It's like, well, Dave, couldn't you cut your reviews? No! Listen, how dare you even say that to me? And then Tuesday, of course, we had the live Cellar show, and I got a haircut. There was just so much to do this week that just is stupid, but I was just really busy and right like after going to work and then after work. And then I had Memo and Scotty on, and hopefully you liked that. I was really upset Mike wasn't there, but it was okay. But then, of course, this thing happened on the screen, and that made me so angry. I texted him. I'm like, can you cut it out? And he never wrote back. I don't know what's going on with him. So whatever, but it certainly was fun. And then Memo and I went out, and we had a little sushi at this place, which seemed really nice. But, of course, at the end they were kicking us out, which – obviously, it just pisses me off, but the sushi was okay, and the people were okay. Yeah, and it seemed a little bit more expensive than it should be for a little place like that, but we know everything's expensive. What are you going to do? And then it was much colder than they said, and that's, of course, the problem with this time of year. You know, you leave your house at 5:30 in the morning, it's cold, but it's supposed to be warmer by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so I dress for 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then by 9 o'clock at night, it's freezing again. And I'm like, I should have just taken what I was wearing at 5:30 in the morning and done that. But you know, when I'm walking outside, then I'm overdressed. You know how difficult it is. Well, especially if you're in New York, you can't go home for a period of time. You're out all day and you can't go home and change. So it's a real pickle. It was so cold. I had to take a cab again. Oh my God. I really hate that. It was just too cold. For me, the way I was dressed, I just wasn't in the mood. I mean, we walked a little bit, but I finally took a cab on like 1st Avenue and 23rd Street. And Memo walked with me a little bit. And then he was walking his bike. He was taking his bike. But I was just like in the mood to take a cab. And I just had so much to do. You know, I've been putting the lecture together for 2 days. And it's really taken me a long time. We're talking about 84 and 85 years in film. So I took a goddamn taxi. And as soon as I sat down, I'll never forget it. As soon as I sat down and closed the door, we were on our way, the meter said $8. That's in closing the door and the driver and putting the car into drive, $8. How is that possible? I mean, what the hell is going on? And that's why I just absolutely hate taking a cab. But sometimes, what are you going to do? I just wasn't in the mood for the bike. I might have taken the bus if it had come, but I didn't see anything in sight. And I wanted to go home because I needed to go over that. I needed to practice the presentation. It wasn't completely finished yet. And then I went, you know, and then I had to go to work again the next morning. I'm totally complaining. I'm going to go to work the next morning. But I know I had to go out at night. So I'm like, well, when am I going to get this done? So I came home for lunch, kind of finished everything, went over it for an hour, and then went back out in the goddamn rain again. Oh, such a pain. The 2 days I picked a drive. Pouring rain, because me and Artie Lang's sister, Stacy Lang, had a plan to go to this restaurant. We've been planning it for months. She has a standing reservation on certain Wednesdays at this place called Augustino's in Hoboken, a really small Italian place. You know, one of those places where everybody minds their own business. You know, they get the, well, they get one of those pull-chain toilets in the back. It's possible that Pete, maybe they got the box and the chain. If somebody could plant a gun in the back, we might have a chance. So, yeah, it's one of those places. It's really cozy, and we've been planning it for a long time, and starting December, like, she's like, oh, my Christmas party's that day, or January, they, well, they're not open that day, and then it just came to March. So we finally had it planned, and I made sure, because I told them at work, I can't work 4 to midnight that night. I'm going out after work. So it was all set, and I walked to the parking garage, and of course, my car didn't start, so that was also, and I mean, so I finished work at 4. I had to meet her at her house at 6:45, and then we're going to the restaurant at 7. So I think I left my house at 5. Did I leave at 4:30? I don't know, but again, I was freaked out because then the next day I'm going to teach, is everything ready? I think it went over stuff a little bit to go through it, and I was like, okay, I think I feel confident enough that I can have a good time and not worry about it today. And I think I left at 4:30. As you know, that gives me 2.5 hours to get to Hoboken. 2.5 hours I'm giving myself, right? That's insane. When you put it on the GPS, it says it's 2 miles away. 2 miles. I'm giving myself plenty of time to find parking over there, all that kind of stuff, right? So parking in Hoboken. So I got this whole plan where I'm like, okay, if I take the car, because I would have taken the ferry, but the ferry stops at 9:15. That's not going to work. And I don't want to take the path because the path is really far from the restaurant. Even if she could have driven me to the path, then I'm stuck at Penn State. I mean, the whole thing sucks. So I'm like, this is actually good. If I take the car and I can park into my neighborhood after instead of at the garage because I'm going to Rachel and Pete's afterwards in Queens on Thursday, then maybe it'll pay off. So I don't want to spend a lot of money on parking, obviously, because I already have a parking. You know, that drives me nuts. It's just like taking a cab, and you're like, I have my own car, and I'm paying $8 already. And, of course, then it goes to $20 for 30 blocks. And the guy missed my stop. I'm like, you fucking dick. I was so angry. He's like, right side, left side. I'm like, right side. And then he's going past. I'm like, it's right here, you fuck. He's like, oh, it's been a long day, which it probably was, and I felt bad. And I'm sure that happens to them a lot. You have to drift off in a way when you have so many people in your cab, but still they're just charging too much money to fuck up. There can be no room for error, and that's why, again, they're getting replaced by Ubers and taxis can go fuck themselves. I really couldn't care less. They're just all pieces of shit, and it's not like their cars are clean or anything either. You know, it's not a pleasant experience, the bumping in the back, and that, right, it just makes you sick. Fuck taxis. Fuck that show taxi. So I find that there's a parking garage for $15 for 4 hours. It's a big deal. At the Trader Joe's in Hoboken. And I'm like, wait, that really? Are you positive? Are you positive? But I looked it up. I looked it up on Google. I looked it up on their website. It clearly says it's good to park there. And then when you go, it's like right out of the tunnel. And it's right by where I need to be. And when you go in, I don't know, it's weird. It says resident monthly, this level, resident, Trader Joe's parking 1, but just for Trader Joe's customers. I'm like, what? And you go in, and there's no way out, like, without having to go to, like, a ticket box and get your ticket print. I mean, it would be a disaster to have to turn around and everything. And I go, and I see everybody's parking there for Trader Joe's. And I went into Trader Joe's and asked the girl in there, like, hey, you know, can I park here if I'm not going to Trader Joe's? And they're like, yeah, you just have to do this and that. And then I was like, I guess I felt a little better because she kind of told me that it's cool. And it clearly, but every sign just said you can't park here. It's really weird. But it all worked out. But then when I parked the car again, and then I went back up, and then I got my umbrella, I went back up, and I'm like, so you're sure that I could come in here after Trader Joe's, because the elevator brings you right into Trader Joe's. And I'm like, well, but even though you're closed, well, she goes, no, you see this? This will close, but this section will stay open. So everybody was very helpful, even with somebody not shopping at Trader Joe's. They're very polite, these little girls. So that was nice because that made me much less nervous because I was very nervous. I wasn't going to be able to get the car out. Then it was pouring rain again, and I walked over to Stacy's house, and I was just sitting there in the rain. And of course, I'm a half hour early. And I'm like, well, that's just perfect, isn't it? I was waiting in my car for a while, just sitting there making calls. And I'm like, I want to get out of here, which was so stupid. It's like, what am I going to do? And there was like a place to hang out for a little bit. So I waited. I think there was a CVS down the street. So I just waited in there. And she goes, oh, well, that's perfect. I got to pick up a prescription anyway. So I'll meet you in the CVS. And I'm like, oh. So I'm just hanging out. And they're looking at me like, is this guy going to buy anything? You know, that's what you feel, I guess. And especially in this day and age when they're locked everything up. And she comes, and you know, I'm getting nervous because it's, you know, this is a very strict place. They're like, oh, these guys love us, so they've given us a reservation. And it's like 7 or 8. I'm like, are you going to be late? You know, make me look foolish in front of these guys, you know? But I gotta go in the Jessica Dan character, right? I mean, it's not my deal. If she feels she can walk in late, and we were only 5 minutes late, then it's her. And we were hanging out with her friend Maggie, so she actually drove to the restaurant, which was amazing. I would never drive in Hoboken, just nowhere to park. But she doesn't seem to care because she comes from the... I said, clearly you and your brother, you just love parking anywhere and just leaving the car. And she goes, oh, our dad taught us that. So I guess she doesn't give a shit. I would be a nervous wreck. And so we went over to the restaurant, and she knows everybody in Hoboken. It's so funny, her waving in windows to people because she's lived there so long. And we go to the restaurant. It's so cozy. It's nice. Very small. Our table's waiting for us. Her friend is there. She's already got a bottle, like a thing of wine for us. And it was a lovely time, just as expected. And when I told my friend Caitlin, who, you know, whose dad owns Dino and Harry's, I said, we're going to Augustine. She said, oh, I want to go. So I guess it is a big deal in Hoboken. It's really hard to get a reservation there. And again, so, you know, so I'm like, oh, this is going to be incredible. But the food was just okay. I mean, it wasn't great. I don't know. You know, everything's overrated. Remember, Rao's was overrated. But Rao's was an experience. Rao's is, you know, the whole function of it and what it, the things on the wall and who's been there. And then when the waiter comes, sits at your table and says, now, how hungry are you guys? And he'll order for you. So that's the experience. But the food was just okay. It's not the best I've ever had. I told you that before. Maybe they have one item that's delicious, like any other place. But this food was okay. Again, the experience was nice, but it wasn't anything new. And so I ordered stuffed mushrooms, which weren't very good. I like stuffed mushrooms with sausage and pepper or whatever's in it, and it just wasn't very good. That was on the specials. They have, you know, specials every day. And they had a special of lasagna called, I think, Buddy's Famous Meat and Sausage Lasagna, which, of course, I can't eat at home because it's not very kosher, adding the meat and the cheese. And then on the menu, regular menu, they just had Buddy's Meat and Sausage Lasagna. And I asked the guy, well, wait a minute. What's the difference for Buddy's Famous Meat and Sausage Lasagna and Buddy's Meat and Sausage Lasagna? Will this get delivered by a celebrity? Because they were saying that Johnny Depp sometimes comes to this restaurant. I'm like, will Johnny Depp be serving my lasagna today? And he's like, no, there is no difference. Well, I don't understand. On the special, so why would the lasagna be a special? I'm already making trouble, right? But I'm like, but why would the lasagna be on the specials list? I mean, did you guys just get lazy today? Or I mean, really, it should be delivered by a famous person. It doesn't make any sense. He's like, I can't explain why the menu says what it says. Why can't you explain that? You work here. It's a fancy restaurant. It's hard to get a reservation, and you don't know these things? Now, obviously, this is not Jessica Dan, but I was being, I think, funny. The girls found it funny, and the waiter didn't seem to mind. But I was kept asking those questions because, you know, it's like, do you have any questions on the menu? Oh, I got one for you. Now, tell me. And then it was funny. Stacy just orders off the menu and like, could you make me this? Because she eats healthy. And it's just, and they're like, yeah, no problem. So fortunately, they weren't sticklers about any of that kind of nonsense. And everybody was nice and polite. And we had a really nice, they got an eggplant tower appetizer, which I don't like eggplant towers because they had a really bad one at Arthur and Sons. So I told them not to get it. They didn't listen to me and they got it. And it was the best thing I had all night. I don't know, for some reason, I got pictures of everything, obviously. I got pictures. If you're on Patreon, you'll get to see the controversial eggplant tower and the stuffed mushrooms and all that stuff. And so, oh, it's very important you join Patreon. You won't want to miss pictures of food. Ugh. That's why I don't have anybody in the 20. Well, no, that's why I should have more 20-year-olds fun, because don't they love food pictures? But we all like it too. Anyway, then you'll get, I think I, did I take an outlay of the place? No, maybe not. I don't remember. But I definitely got the food. My lasagna was just, okay, it looked amazing. But so did it last week when it came out. But the two that I've had the past 2 weeks have just been okay. They haven't been as spectacular as I want them to be, like they were at that Staten Island, that beautiful Staten Island restaurant, where it was a true, like, four cheese lasagna, and it really tasted that way, and it was really delicious. So I gotta stop ordering that. It's just unfortunate, because lasagna is usually my favorite food. But I think next time I might go with a little shrimp parmesan, something like that. That'll be nice, right? So the desserts, they're into, like, oh, we're, you know, and we, you don't mind staying for dessert and coffee. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm in love with you guys. Listen, I just fell in love with you, all right? I just fell in love with you guys, because they know. They get it. They get it. So we order coffee, and we order two desserts, and they told us the desserts. I saw cannoli on the menu. I got a cannoli. But this girl, Maggie, ordered, like, and we'll have the icebox. And I'm like, right, enjoy your icebox. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's an icebox? And she's like, you'll see. And it turns out that the icebox is my favorite dessert. The icebox, unlike the snowboken, is what our mother, my mother, tried to poison us with on that one Thanksgiving meal. It's the chocolate pudding pie in a graham cracker crust. The easiest thing to make. Now, quite frankly, my mother and my sister's is better, because the pudding mix, the Jell-O pudding mix is actually tastier than what they gave, and probably made real Jell-O chocolate pudding, and my mother's is better. But that's what it is. It's my favorite dessert, a chocolate pudding pie. It's called an icebox. Next time, I am absolutely getting that. And it comes with whipped cream, just like Bets and my mother that I have at Thanksgiving. The icebox. Augustino's. Hopefully we're going to be back there next month. Am I part of the crowd? Am I part of the Wednesday crowd? Just going to be a standing thing for us. So looking forward to going back again, even though there's no even though. They want me to take them to Arthur and Sons. I said I can do that, but I'm be prepared to be disappointed. Even though, again, that place, hard to get in. Then once you're there, I'm like, food's okay. I haven't been to a place that's hard to get in that's so spectacular. Right? Because don't you want it to be spectacular? But I guess, and that's the thing about Arthur and Sons. Where's the experience there? What's the experience at Arthur and Sons? It's a poorly lit, horrible checkered tablecloth place that everybody's waiting months to get a reservation for. The food is just okay. Nothing was subpar, but it's just okay. And you're making a big deal about it, but I guess that's how you get customers. You say, oh, when you come to Arthur and Sons, you got the experience. But, I mean, Rao's, are you kidding? It's all right. But listen, that waiter sits down and explains the menu to, I mean, that is exciting. At least that's an experience. I don't know what you get at Arthur and Sons, because everybody's very nice. It was very cozy. Like I said, it was pouring rain outside. We're very cozy inside. It was terrific. So then I leave, and I go back to the car, and everything's cool, thank God. And you have to go up like three levels to get the parking ticket. You know how it works in a parking garage, because I don't normally. And everything went fine. And so I decided I'm going to bring the car to my house, and I'm going to park it across the street from my house, which, if I just do it for 12 hours, will only be about $20, and that I can handle. But I got home too early, and I have to get to Rachel's. So maybe I didn't tell you this. Rachel's husband became a fire chief, and she planned. She's like, hey, he's having his fire chief swearing in, and then we're going to have a little get-together at my house on Thursday at noon. And I'm like, well, I can actually make that, which is incredible, because even though it's on a Thursday, and something's on a Thursday you usually can't make, but it's before class, and even though my stomach would technically be in knots, because coming home, going from Queens to New Jersey, it's going to be even worse than leaving the city. Even worse. I'm like, I'm sure I can do this. So I wanted to keep the car in my neighborhood. I don't want to go west because I'm going the opposite way. I know my cleaning lady was coming. I didn't want to leave the house. I'm like, if I could just leave at 11, that would be great. But it was before 11. I'm like, I don't want to leave before 11. I'll just be sitting in front of her house. And then she goes, you know, it might be later. Rachel says it might be later. I'm like, oh, crap. But I got lucky and I found a spot. I couldn't believe it. Found a spot where I didn't have to move it for the whole day. So I didn't have to worry about that, and it saved me money. Thank God. I'm so nervous. Everybody's so uptight about this congestion pricing. We're just thinking of like, save the money now because everything's going to suck later. Everybody's worried about it. Everyone's talking about it. People in Jersey, people here, obviously, people in Queens. Everyone's talking about it. It's really freaking people out. $15 a lot. You can make a case for $5, but $15 every time you come to town, that's real fucked up. So then it might pay, because I was like, well, I could take an Uber home from Stacy's, which will cost me, of course, over $40, and that'll be kind of what I'm paying for the parking, but then I won't have my car here. So I figured out, but now with the congestion pricing, the Uber would have been a cheaper method, because I think they only charge you like a $250 surcharge to go in for a livery cab driver, I guess. I don't know. Nobody knows what's happening yet. Fortunately, I don't have to worry about the car. So I leave because I'm like, I just don't know what to do. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I got all my stuff together. It's like, and Rachel just keeps saying, we're later, we're later. The ceremony's delayed. It's delayed. In which the ceremony was on the news. I thought she was kidding, but everybody was, I was like, oh God, was everybody booing because they were just angry at the, and she goes, yeah, yeah, they were booing. And then I found out she wasn't kidding. They were booing the district attorney. The state district attorney, the Letitia woman of New York, they were booing her. And I told Pete later, because I didn't know there was something above chief. And it turns out that above chief is a deputy chief. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. What are you, the Barney Fife of chiefs? That chief should be, if there's something else, he goes, well, it goes battalion chief, and deputy chief. I'm like, battalion chief, by the sound of it, should be above chief, not deputy chief. It sounds like you get a demotion. And so you, this guy Pete, you know, Rachel's husband, who questioned the chief exam and called them up and said, your questions are incorrect, so my answer was right, and got the test changed, should go and say, I think we got to get rid of deputy chief and change it, because it just looks, somebody pointed out, it makes it look dumb. Nobody knows the deputy chief is above the chief. And I said, well, you're not going to get very far if you're booing the woman that might make that change. And he goes, oh yeah, that's not good. You're right. But wouldn't that be great if I changed the entire fire department system, because it's stupid. Meanwhile, he gets now he gets his own car and a driver and all that kind of stuff, which he deserves, because he's saving people and doing awesome stuff. And it's really cool. And I go, hey, let me know if you're going to be in the firehouse with all the hot guys. And I said that in front of his firemen, you know, a couple of fire guys were there. And they're like, what? He goes, He's like, it's a long story, fellas. He's not gay. But that's, of course, a legendary story. Anyway, so I just go out and I drop off my dry cleaning and had a long talk with the dry cleaner, the son, because he wants to get into voiceover work. And I'm like, you know what? I got plenty of time to have this conversation. It was a great day. I was not in any kind of rush because normally when I drop it off, I got to get my car. I've already put in. I'm going to be there in a half hour. But this time I was killing time. So I'm like, let me explain to you about how voiceovers work. Now, I must have been in there for 20 minutes. And then I went to the coffee shop across the street and, you know, the girl I like was working there. So I just sat down and we talked for another 20 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I just got time. Because Rachel just kept saying, we're later, we're later, we're later. And I'm like, it's all right. And that's why Memo couldn't go because he had to actually help my sister with a puppet show. He was mad. He's like, I got to help Jessica's sister. I can't go. And he was really upset about it because we all wanted to celebrate this wonderful achievement for Pete, who's such a terrific guy. Chief Brennan, so exciting. So finally, I got out there, and it took me no time at all to get out there. 20 minutes was fantastic. It took those guys to get back from the heart of Brooklyn, the ceremony, to Queens, like an hour. And it was making me a little nervous for the trip back, but everything was fine. I waited outside for them to come just as I knew I was going to. And then we got in. It was great. They had food there, a lot of nice people. Everybody I know, Irene and Steve were there from Staten. They came all the way from Staten Island. They said it took them 2 hours. See what I'm saying? It's like you got to, it's just awful. So then it's like it goes quick. I'm talking. We're having a good time. It's really nice. I got pictures. I got, you know, Pete. Everybody's, I say they were lighting a can of cake and I just go, happy. Oh, right. Sorry. I think big laughs. Because you don't know what to say when somebody lights a candle and it's not a birthday. So this wonderful achievement. It was really great. Everybody was really happy to be there. Nice little daytime, weekday celebration. And it's so funny. I was talking to Rachel's neighbors. They're not comedians or anything like that. Just their neighbors she met that when she moved out to Queens. And I was talking to them and they were laughing. And she's like, oh, don't listen to anything he says. He's crazy. And last night I was talking to Evan and Glenn, and I was saying, you know, I was saying something, some way I can help Dory with her career, because even though I say stupid stuff, people the next day, you know, Costanza, they remember me, and they're always like, well, what about your uncle? Is he around? So, you know, my sister's been dealing with this her whole life. We've always been over this, everything, because Evan says stupid stuff, and people get angry at him. But when I say it, they get angry. But for some reason, Costanza, it sticks with them. Like, I want to see that guy again. So I miss that guy. So it's funny, as we were telling that story, that for some reason, you know, people, even if I'm a dick, they're like, what's up with your brother? I mean, is he going to come around again? Or Rachel calls you, goes, hey, my neighbors, they really loved you. They'd like to hang out with you again. I'm like, I said, even though you were saying all that inappropriate stuff, I'm like, see, look at this. What timing on that? It's working. So I guess I do something right. But so then it's around 3 o'clock and I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to be going. Remember, I got to teach in 2.5 hours. I'm always trying to get there early so I can get the coffee from Panera before it closes at 5 o'clock. So I'm trying to obviously get there at 5 plus. You know, I'd like to pick up a paper and do all that stuff. But I'm like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it. And then, of course, I'm saying goodbye to everybody. I don't leave till 3:15. But I'm not panicked because, thank God, again, the Waze is telling me I'll be there at 4:30. And I'm like, oh, you know what? We're good because, thank God, right? Waze. That's the reason I did not have diarrhea. The Waze is telling me, even though I'm in this monster traffic jam, a 20-minute traffic jam, the time has not gone up. The time went up a little bit to 4:40, so I was getting a little, can you imagine if there's like a crash or something? But right now it says 4:40, even in the street, and there's so much traffic. And it's taken me, I'm like, where is it taking me? It doesn't take me through New York City. Not quite. It's taking me into the Bronx. And I'm like, all right, I know it's heading me to the George Washington Bridge. That's fine. I'm listening to whatever Waze says, because they got me through a lot of shit. And I like to believe I have special privileges, since I always press the button and say the car's still here, there's still construction, all that kind of stuff. Because Joe has told me you may get special privileges if you're a good team player on Waze. I shouldn't have told you guys that. Because then, you know, you'll get special privileges. Then everybody will get special privileges. So they take me all this way, and it's just so crowded. And it's the place you just don't want to be. And I'm like, how am I going to make it? And I have to keep telling myself, Jesus Christ, relax. It's only 3:30 now, and you still have 2 hours to get to class, and it says you're going to be there 45 minutes in advance. And, you know, you're going over the George Washington Bridge. It's all they ever do on the news, say the George Washington Bridge backed up. Finally, I'm in the George Washington Bridge. I'm like, fine. As soon as I get to Jersey, I just relax. Even though I'm not near the school yet, I just relax. That's what happens. Get to Jersey. And just everything panics. All of a sudden, the traffic disappears. It comes up again later, but it just disappears. It's amazing. That's anybody that would want to live in Queens, as I was driving out there where there was no traffic, and as I was driving back, anybody that lives in Queens and has a car, or Long Island, is a douchebag. It's the worst place to live ever. Unless you live in Long Island and never have to drive in and out of the city, I can make a case for that. But if you're driving, the fact that you have to drive through Queens to get to Long Island makes you a douchebag. The fact that you'd ever want to live in a place where you got to drive around any of these fucking dump hole shitholes, you're dumb. Yeah, that's right. I'm saying it. I don't care. It's a shitty fucking place to live and drive. And it just the whole time I'm just saying to myself, what the fuck is the matter with people? This is why I hate driving to Long Island. This is why I hate doing shows out there. This is just the worst. And again, when you drive out to Jersey, and I know people make fun of Jersey and all that, but you leave the tunnel, you're just freedom. I don't know what it is about this dump that's over there, but I don't know why anybody would want to live there. And quite frankly, when we go to Connecticut today, the same shit, the same nonstop traffic. It's just awful. And it's just, that's why I would never live in any of these places. And I just don't understand anybody that would ever want to. If you're just staying in your neighborhood, I guess, and you never drive and you just commute, that maybe there's a difference because, you know, once you get to Connecticut, once you get to Long Island, they're nice. It's beautiful there. But the commuting, the traveling, having to go through Queens or Brooklyn to get to Long Island, no. And when you leave the Lincoln Tunnel, you're already in Jersey. You're there. You don't have to go through anywhere. Well, you got to go through Newark, but that's, just the highway, so it's all right because Newark blows. But then that was what it would be like if Newark was right outside the Lincoln Tunnel. You'd have to, oh, my God, there's no way to win. And it would definitely move out of the city. Anyway, I'm all panicked, but it's all working out. Now it says 4:50, and now I'm like 4:51. How am I going to make it to the coffee shop, the Panera, before they close at 5? I got to get that cup of coffee, even though I probably don't need it, but it's just such a tradition. And I made it to the Panera Bread because I was running to go after I parked my car. And, you know, usually I like to rest in the car, but I'm like, no, let's get it going. Because I got to go anyway and get everything set up. And I got to the Panera Bread just as they were closing. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Can I just get a cup of coffee? And they still made me pay for it. Jerk offs. The coffee was completely cold. It was gross. But it's my own fault because I didn't leave exactly when I was supposed to, which was supposed to be exactly at 3 o'clock. And, you know, that's hard to do. It's hard to leave everybody where you just want to stay and talk some more and say goodbye to your close friends. So you know how difficult it is to leave a place. Then my car was parked a little further up, which I'd forgotten about. It wasn't just right outside. So everything took its time. But everything worked out. Here's where I fucked up in class. Oh, geez, we got to go. It's been an hour already. I should not have done the lecture because it was spring break. Spring break! I should have just shown a movie. I have not done this before, so I didn't understand the brilliance of spring break and how it just doesn't seem real to me. I haven't had a spring break in 30 years, 40 years. So half the students don't even show up for the last class. I mean, everybody came, but apparently I was told a lot of teachers cancel. And I'm like, I don't understand. Spring break starts tomorrow. What's the big deal? But I should have just shown a movie. I fucked up. I think they were very bored by my lecture. I saw my nephew sleeping. I saw a bunch of people sleeping. I was talking so much, I didn't even care. And I was enjoying my own presentation, so I really didn't give a shit.
You know the way I work. I'm like a commercial jingle. At first, it's a little irritating. Then you hear it a few times. You're humming it in the shower. By the third date, it's by Menon. Costanza.
All right, George, I'll be honest. First time we went out, I found you very irritating. After seeing you a couple of times, you sort of got stuck in my head. Costanza.
And then me and Glenn and Evan went to this amazing place that I cannot believe we didn't know about before. It's in the Willowbrook Mall. It's called the Yard House. And apparently there's a bunch of Yard House over. And it's clean and big and beautiful. And they sat us in a giant booth. And they have 109 beers on tap. And they said they had the Sam Adams Winter Lager. And I said, bullshit. And this guy was nothing but nice. The server was very nice. In fact, the girl at the counter said, I'm going to give you the best server. And we're like, thank you. And I said, bullshit. I suggest you go over and find out because I guarantee, you know. And he goes, oh, it turns out we do not have, we have the cold server. I'm like, ha ha, boom. God damn these places, right? But then there's 109 different beers. And we're like, we'll have the Sam Adams, which is pretty much like ordering a Budweiser. But I didn't. There, they had flights of beer. That's my favorite. Flights of beer. You know where you get different ones and little small things. I love that. So I said to the guy, listen, I don't want any IPAs, but you pick them out. And he picked out four awesome ones. And I go, you know what? This one's fat. And he gave me the list of what it was. And I go, oh, this one's Fat Tire. This is actually my favorite beer. He goes, yeah, I know a lot of older people. And I'm like, that's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And they made fun of me for a half hour that I know older people. But it was great. He had like a darker beer, a darker amber, and then the regular. It was, couldn't have been more pleased. I was so pleased. And then I ordered another Fat Tire. And then I got the wings. I got the Korean wings because they looked incredible. There was a picture of them on the menu. I'm like, those look amazing. They were amazing. I gave Evan and Glenn one because there were 10 because I was also getting a main card. I'm like, you know what? You guys can have. I was a dick at first. So I'm like, they're like, oh, can we split the wings? No. Made it very clear. But then I'm like, you know, you guys can have. So they could have had more than one. I was fine. But they were great. They were great. I ate them all. And then I ordered a beef bowl, which is pretty much like a poke bowl, but they had beef because Evan got the poke bowl, which I love poke bowls, and it was delicious. This place rules. I got pictures of the place. I tried to take video of how big it was. And again, you know, you just don't see this in Manhattan. So when people are just sitting there going like, what's the big deal about the Yard House? I'm like, you just don't understand the freedom and the beautifulness that I can wave my arms and spin around, and it's just so amazing. The waiter was so nice, and they had this way you could pay where they weren't bugging you. You just do it at the table, and they don't bother you. It was the whole experience. I just want to go there the rest of the days that I'm there. That's the plan. I just want to go to the Yard House. When we left, we were talking to the service. It turns out our waiter goes to Montclair State. He's a student there. So that couldn't have been any better. He's a business student. I said, you know Billy Casper? And he goes, no, I don't know anybody. That's the answer that all these kids have. No, I don't know anybody, especially at the school. Kids suck these days in that sense. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to our society if everybody's just not doing anything. Anyway, after that, Evan said, hey, my cousin is playing at that Great Notch Inn. I don't know if you remember that. We went to that place. It's a very small place right off the highway. It shouldn't be in New Jersey. It should be in Texas. A little roadhouse spot where they have just a live band in this very small place with really weird people. Like, we're not the weird ones there. Really, people right out of, as Evan said that day, right out of Central Casting, that you would think this is how you make a movie about a Texas roadhouse bar. So his cousin was playing, you know, he's older than us, and he was playing, and it was, you know, stupid music that I don't like, but it was a fun spring break activity because it was spring break and we're like, let's get another drink, which is so rare, you know. I'm like, yeah, what the fuck. It was right down the street, and it's also my way home. It was just absolutely perfect. And I got a picture again, or Glenn got the great picture of that buffet table that, you remember, got me in trouble with Lee's wife. We still haven't spoken. I'm thinking about sending him the table. I'm like, hey, reminiscent of your fucking 60th birthday, you prick. I guess that's what it still reminds me of. And it just looks right out of the Napoleon Dynamite lunch scene. That is what this table looks like. And they told me it was a birthday party celebration. So I don't know. So they guess they had extra, but they had shrimp cocktail and sushi stuff. But when you see the picture, I know that sounds like a good plan. You see the presentation, and it's all just leftovers, and it's gross. And I told Evan, I'm like, I had some of the shrimp cocktails. No, you didn't. I'm like, no, I didn't. And you know I love the shrimp cocktail. Normally I would do it, but they're like little baby shrimp, and it's really fucked up. And it was hilarious. And I was like, that's the way I remember that place. And we just had another beer, listened to a couple songs, and then we took off. But it was a fun way to end the evening. Meanwhile, just before class, my niece called me. She locked herself out of her apartment in Brooklyn. She goes, can I stay at your place? And I'm like, I'm glad you called me, you know, first. And then I called my sister. I go, wait a minute. Did she call you first and you told her to call Uncle David? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, God damn it. I thought she was finally grown up where she doesn't mind calling Uncle David on her own. I said, of course you can stay. And it's just so funny. She was fast asleep. But I got home at 1:30 in the morning. And then I didn't really sleep, which I'm a little nervous about because I was on the couch. And now I got to leave and go to Connecticut. So I don't know whether I can have time to even rest up. But whatever the case may be, it's all going to be super fun when we talk about it next week on an all-new episode of Just Kale the City. This week we are virtual at the Comedy Cellar Nightly Show. I guess we'll give our Oscar whoever won or whatever, even though Memo played the game horribly and me and Scotty are just looking at each other like, why are we inviting Memo? I think we got to get rid of him next year. We got to have people that play the game that want to win the game. And on Billy Joel, I'm not exactly sure what's coming up. It's either the Songs in the Attic wrap-up or Piano Man. I don't know what I can get together first. So we'll see about that. That doesn't matter. The important thing is that we're all together and we're having a good time, and there's always going to be a fresh new Just Get Out of the City week to week. I'll see you next week, everybody. Have a great time. Bye.